Welcome to another edition of I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here, the podcast you can listen to between meals. Well, we said VW Gate would run and run, and it shows no signs of going away, with more skeletons coming out of the closet than a shop full of Halloween costumes. In the latest turn of events, Volkswagen could be prosecuted on a corporate manslaughter charge over rigged diesel emission tests, as the government faced questions from MPs over the number of deaths that could be attributed to the scandal. Transport Minister Robert Goodwill told the Environmental Audit Committee that a corporate manslaughter charge may be considered, if legal advice suggests it could be successful. In the UK, 1.2 million affected cars will be recalled starting in early 2016. Spokesperson for Volkswagen said that the procedure for removing the defeat devices fitted to cars was still being developed by experts in Germany, and it's still unclear whether the adjustments will actually reduce nitrous oxide levels. So let's get this one straight. Even VW appear to have little idea of how to remove their own dodgy software. There's more pressure being put on DEFRA as well for their lack of action, having been in the know on emissions test cheating for nearly 6 years. DEFRA Minister Rory Stewart said that the discrepancies between official tests and real road performance have been public knowledge for years. He said getting cars through official tests was equivalent to letting students sit an exam after giving them the question paper the night before. Everyone knew the tests were no good, but nobody did anything about it. Now, though, they may have to do something after MEPs voted this week for a full and transparent investigation into the Volkswagen scandal, with the European Commission reporting back in March 2016. The resolution passed by 493 votes to 145 also called for the introduction of real-world driving emission tests for passenger vehicles across the EU by 2017. The vote came on the same day UK Air Quality Minister Rory Stewart told MPs on a select committee that government had been pushing for several years for real-world driving test procedures, a fact disputed by Green MP Caroline Lucas, who noted in the last Parliament ministers met 116 times with car manufacturers and only twice with clean air campaigners. Cow in Wiltshire has become the first animal to drive anthrax in 9 years. Found on a farm in Westbury near Warminster, the cow was quickly incinerated and movement restrictions put in place. Public Health England say the risk to the public is very low, while experts are looking into a possible historic link at the farm at another case of the disease 20 years ago. Recent raids in East London have once again highlighted the problems of rogue landlords. Housing officers in Barking and Dagenham found 51 people living in just four properties in the area, with one landlord making £4,000 a month from 10 tenants in just one property. Earlier this year, a report by the Citizens Advice Bureau suggested that private landlords had taken an estimated £5.6 billion a year from homes that don't meet legal standards. The report stated that 743,000 families are living in privately rented homes that present a severe threat to occupants' health. Research by the Times newspaper has suggested that 25% of councils have failed to take prosecutions against private landlords for providing unsafe accommodation in the past 5 years. Chronic lack of enforcement officers due to austerity cuts is a major part of the problem. To tax or not to tax? That is the question. Celebrity chef Jamie Oliver has called for ministers to introduce a sugar tax on fizzy drinks. Talking to the House of Commons Health Committee, Mr. Oliver said, "We should be big and bold. Who's running the country? The businesses who are profiting from ill health or us?" Well said, Jamie. His campaign to introduce a tax of 7 pence per can, which could raise up to £1 billion a year, has been widely backed by the public, with over 150,000 signing an internet petition. Up until now, ministers have made no attempt to introduce a tax, which campaigners say would be a major step towards addressing problems of childhood obesity. Concentration on fizzy drinks as a major part of the problem is due partly to the fact that the public are generally unaware of how much sugar they contain. Official advice is that no more than 5% of daily calories should come from sugar, the equivalent of 6 teaspoons. A typical can of fizzy drink contains up to 9 teaspoons. tax credits aren't the only thing that stopped Chancellor George Osborne getting a good night's kip these days. Public health experts are still turning up the heat on the proposed budget cuts. Leading medical care and local authority organisations have warned Mr Osborne that cuts of 6.2% to public health services in England will cripple vital services such as mental health daycare centres, smoking cessation clinics and contraception services. They say the cuts will also jeopardise any gain from the £8 billion increase by 2020 promised to the health service in July's post-election budget, which follows a £2 billion increase this year. The letters signatories represent the professional interests of 220,000 doctors, 300,000 nurses, health service leaders, public health specialists and local authority leaders who all believe public health spending should be at the heart of any health policy. A government spokesperson told The Guardian, "Difficult decisions need to be made across government to reduce the deficit and ensure the sustainability of our public services. Local authorities have already set an excellent example of how more can be done for less to provide the best value for the taxpayer. Like the rest of the public sector, they will have to continue to play their part in fixing the public finances to ensure we deliver security for working people across the country." But hold on a minute. 220,000 doctors, 300,000 nurses, public health specialists from across the country, and you're supposed to be the listening government.
Hey, orphan, can't you hear me when I'm big boss man, can't you hear me when I call?
Finally, America will be gripped by World Series fever over the next week as the Kansas City Royals and the New York Mets fight out a best of seven series for baseball's biggest prize. It's emerged this week, though, that visitors to Kansas City's Kauffman Stadium may be getting more than they bargained for after health officials reported an increase in what they call critical health violations at the stadium. Problems included popcorn being stored in rubbish bags, dead flies in ice buckets, and rat droppings, although officials have admitted they'd only received two complaints from fans all season. Well, it's hard to take your eyes off those home runs, isn't it? It's not the first time things at the stadium have been questioned after ex-food safety manager John Costa was sacked in March when he went public on poor conditions, publishing pictures of insects, mouse droppings and mouldy food that he found during the course of his work. Back in 2011, the Business Insider website carried out a survey of ballpark hygiene, finding that Toronto's Rogers Centre was the only stadium with no reported violations. So, no World Series for my Blue Jays, but at least I know the hot dogs are safe. See you in a couple of weeks. Written, produced and presented by Pete Hill. All comments made are purely personal and do not relate to any other body. This podcast is protected by a Creative Commons license. Any unauthorized reproduction for commercial gain is strictly prohibited.